Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website, www.greaterlife.org.uk.
My name is Desmond, married to a beautiful wife called Patricia. We've been married for 21 years now. And we have four girls, Deborah, Elizabeth, Esther, and Glory. Deborah is 20 years old. She's doing her final year in medical microbiology in University of Leicester. Is that what you studied? And Elizabeth just started a degree in psychology in Coventry University, and Esther is in Salesian College, her first year. She's doing sports psychology, I think English literature, and to my embarrassment, I can't remember the third one. Glory is in Bishop One, year eight. They all love God, and they all play musical instruments, and I attempt to play drums and a bit of keyboard. I think I'm better at playing drum than keyboard, but I just love the Lord. And we are Nilim Church. Kingdom Living Church was planted on March 16th, 2009, out of Chiswick Christian Center. Chiswick Christian Center was planted out of Kettering Temple. And so we are an Elim church. Praise God. And I've lived in Staines since 1997. Got married in 97 in East London. And my wife lived in Staines. So we wanted to buy a house in East London, in the church that we belonged to, which was part of Elim. And because I was renting and she was in a housing association, she said, so why don't we move here to save money while we look for a house to buy in East London? I didn't know that it was part of her ploy for me to move to Staines. And you know, women that are wise have a way of doing it without, they make you think you are in charge. And she's very good at doing that. And I said, when I first came, I said, I don't like it here, it's too quiet. 97 Staines was even a lot quieter than this. You come in, I was used to working in Central London sometimes to very late, and I catch the bus home by 4 or 5 a.m., and it wasn't a problem at all. And when I moved to Staines, I had to buy a car and more expenses, and we still going to church in East London, and sometimes we miss our train, and it means from Twickenham we have to get taxi. Not the bus. And I said, I hate it here. And but at that time, I was going to Bible school. And I went to Bible school not because I wanted to be a pastor, but just to keep people quiet. Everyone I knew, and the pastor of my church, and everybody kept saying, you should be pastoring a church by now. What are you still doing here? And I said to the Lord, I'll do anything else but pastor. Whatever you want me to do in the church, I will do for you. Actually, I read economics and politics, so I wanted to go and make some money for the church. But God wouldn't allow me. And so I went to Bible school to keep everybody quiet. At least if I go to Bible school, and they'll leave me alone. And as soon as I jumped into Bible school, God started to speak to me. Start a home group in Staines. I am not a very obedient person. I must admit to my shame. But eventually we started a home group in Chiswick, and we started to meet in different homes, and Staines was part of that. Still wasn't thinking of planting a church. And when I moved from Emmanuel Christian Center in Beckton to Chiswick, because we were planning now to, by this time we started a family. And so I decided that we'll stay here in Staines instead of moving to East London. And my pastor there wasn't quite happy. whereas the pastor in Chiswick was very happy. And my first time there, Pastor Phil said, "Desmond, when are you planting a church?" I thought I had just escaped one church where they were nagging me. And he said, "But you went to Bible college." I said, "Yes, not to plant the church. You know, just, I didn't say to keep people quiet. I said, but just to know God more." And so in Chiswick, we started a home group. And my home group, God started to meet with me. It's amazing when a songwriter wrote, said, "God does not compel us to go against his will. He makes us willing." Yes. Say willing. and he does that in different ways. Sometimes he can really push you against the wall and you have no choice but to turn to him. And God started to attract me into his presence, started to allure me, you know, encourage me in. And he will wake me up at about 5 a.m. I wasn't the kind of person that was a morning person. I usually stay awake at night to study all my studies in secondary school, uni. I did all my assignments at night. You know, I can sleep for 1 hour and wake all night and do everything I need to do. And then I sleep during the day. So I was a night person. But God started to change that. He woke me up at 5 o'clock to start praying. And then it got to a point as I was praying, I wake up, you know, African Christians, I come from Nigeria, West Africa, from Benin. The way we pray, we shout. You know, sometimes if God is deaf so that he can hear us. So we shout, we move around, we dance, we, you know, and I was used to that. And one day I had God say to me, "Desmond, sit down." He woke me up by 5 a.m. and said, "Sit down." I said, "This is not God. You won't wake me up to just sit down and do nothing." God is not like that, is he? And then I had Desmond, I said, "Sit down." And I resisted. Then it was God became a bit firm. I said, you know, when God doesn't shout, just firm. So I said, "Sit down." And I sat down. I said, "I want to show you something. Can somebody give me a wristwatch or something so that I am ahead, so that I know what the time is, how to." Yeah. "Thank you." Okay. So 11:45?
Yeah.
We finished before that anyway. So and God started to wake, you know, and say, "Sit down." And I sat down from 5 o'clock, about 5:10, the time was so long. When you do nothing, the time drags. And 10 minutes was like eternity. It went on until 7:15. An hour, 45 minutes. I started to feel a move in the room, in the house. I pray in my living room. It was as if, it's like, you know, we're near the airport. It's like as if the plane was taking off, a jet fighter. But I was not inside, but I was outside. That was the feeling. It moved. I could see breaking through different clouds. And I said, "This is demonic. I'm not going this way." So I pulled back. Don't forget, God was saying to me, "I want to show you something that you have not seen before." And I said, "Lord, this is wrong. This is not you." And he said, "It's me. Next time, in order to make sure it's me, before you do anything, pray. Just bind all the Satan you can bind," because I was good at binding Satan anyway. "And then ask the presence of God to fill the place, that whatever happens here has got to be God." He said, "Remember, you have the power to bind." I said, "Yes." So the next day, I got back, got up at about 5 a.m., came. By this time, he didn't have to force me to sit down. I sat down willingly because I had tasted a bit of what he was trying to show me. You see, this is what God does. He allures you in, give you a taster. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The people out there, the reason why they are not excited about God is because they haven't tasted of God. Our job is to go out there and give them a little bit of God. Let them taste God. When they taste God and see that he's sweet, they will want more. They will want more. And so I wanted more. And so I waited there. Within 15 minutes, I was off, gone somewhere, breaking through clouds. I'm not telling you stories that I read somewhere. I'm telling you what I experienced. Yep. There is more to Christianity than what we practice usually in the church. Yep. Christians are spiritual people. Yes. Heaven is real. Yeah. The power of God is real. Yes. When you see the prophet saying, and God took me by my hair and took me somewhere, that's not just an imagination. Yeah, yeah. That's real. And it became a regular occurrence where God started to show me things. And I said, Lord, I will do anything for you. Then he said, go and plant a church. Not just go as pastor of a church now, but go and plant a church in Staines. So I discussed it with my wife. It took a year for her to come to the same place. And then we discussed it with the pastor. It took another year for him to arrive at the same place. And God said to me, you don't start a church until all the people you need to agree with you agree. You do nothing. And so I told my wife, we'll do nothing until you agree. She said, so she was comfortable with that. And then by the time she agreed, I told the pastor, we'll do nothing. We'll do nothing until you say yes. I said, I promise you, I will not break away. If you say no, I'll stay here. 1 year later, he agreed. That's how we started Kingdom Living Church. But when we started, it started with encounter with God. That's what I'm trying to say. It started with a place of prayer, a place of his presence. And so I was thinking, what name do we call this home group? And my friend, a colleague, a friend of mine said, he said, you're always talking about Kingdom Living. So why not call it Kingdom Living? So from Kingdom Living Home Group became Kingdom Living Church. That's how I became Kingdom Living Church, because it's what God was talking to us about the kingdom. And so during that time, we saw God move. We had testimonies. One of the testimonies I was praying, what I would usually do, I would teach a series in my home group about the reality of God, and then we'll set one day aside to practice what we've preached. So we'll do that. And in one of those days, we just said, we'll minister to everyone. Let's see what God will do. Let's see healing. And as we're doing that weekend, midweek, my daughter was playing football in school, Deborah, my eldest. She was pushed, not deliberately. She had a hairline fracture. And so they called me from work. I was working in Slough Housing then, picked her up, went to the hospital. I think we went to the walking clinic first, and they took an X-ray that says hairline fracture, take her to St. Peter's. We went to St. Peter's. So they put plaster, POP on it, and then we came home. And then the Friday night, we were having a home group in my house. So I was praying for people, for God to move. Mm-hmm. And then I heard Deborah say, Dad, can I talk to you? I said, Deborah, can't you see I'm praying? And then she said, Dad, I'm healed. I didn't hear. I said, Deborah, shut up. Let me pray. And then he shouted again, Dad, I'm healed. I said, healed of what? He said, no. He said, Dad, the pain is gone. That was what she said. She didn't use the word healing. We went praying for her. But the presence of God was in the place. Yeah, yeah. And she was completely healed instantly. We're saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so people there were amazed because she's a child. See, this child was healed, didn't have faith. We didn't pray for her. We didn't even... imagine me praying for others, not for my daughter. You know how we do that sometimes, you know? And so people started to stay up faith in them. Sometimes the pastor would call us out on Sunday and say, we heard about what happened in your home group. Can you come and minister to the church? Yeah. You know, during the service. So we were doing that. And then I'm talking about some miracles that happened just to stir up your faith. I can say that you are people of faith. Yeah. I've had your testimonies this morning, very encouraging. And one of those occasions too, my sister-in-law, she lived with us before she got married and moved away. She was pregnant for the third time for her third child. And at one point, she went to the doctors and they told her that the baby wasn't moving. Or the baby wasn't moving, she went to the doctor and they told her the baby was dead in her womb. They gave her a date to come and flush it out. And we prayed, and my wife prayed with her on the phone, and then the church prayed. And then she was chewing mint one day, and she started to get a kick. The baby that was dead, that she was supposed to go and remove in 2 days, came back alive. Should be 9 this year. Janet. And then somebody in my church heard about it. They've moved on now. We shared the testimony. And the same thing happened to her sister. And then she said, it happened to my pastor's sister-in-law. So I have faith to pray for you. She prayed, and her sister's dead baby came alive again in the womb twice. No, what I'm saying is, she wasn't a pastor. She wasn't a woman that was full of faith. She just saw what God did. You know what I'm saying? She saw what God did. It stirred up her faith to say, if it could happen to these people, it can happen to me. You know, this is what Christianity is about. It's not just about how much we know or what we know. It's what we do with what we know. You know, the problem with us, the challenge with Christianity is not that it's not a lack of power. We have power. You know that.
Yes.
Jesus said to the people, he wouldn't lie. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have power. When the disciples knew that they had power, they went out in the book of Acts. And what did they do? Peter and John saw this man at the beautiful gate, the lame man, and said, give us money. He said, silver and gold I don't have, but I know I have power. Say, I have power. Yeah. He said, but I know I have power. The power that I have, I give to you. Now, rise up and walk.
Yeah.
And when he didn't rise up, what did he do? Come on. Because he gave an instruction. See, for healing to happen, the man had to respond to the instruction. Because in the Bible, God spoke to me recently. And when I say God spoke to me, it's not like he came like a human being in front of me. You know how God speaks to you. Yeah. So I don't want to just make you think, oh, he's a very special guy. God speaks to him. In my imagination, in my thought, the way he speaks, God spoke to me. And you know, I had a vision. I was praying. Like, since all this war, when God taught me how to wait on him, it's not my normal practice. When I wake up, the first thing I do is just sit down, cover myself with my blanket, just to cut everyone out. And I say, Lord, I'm here to meet with you. Meet with me, Lord. I'm not even praying, just quiet. Because I have seen what can happen when you wait on the Lord. And I saw this vision, and there was this lady like Zina the warrior, or the, you know, something like that, dressed like that. And that it was that scene. And they were all waving around and moving around, but nothing was happening. And then the Lord, it's like when you're watching this movie, the camera just pull and zoom in on something. And something very slight, it was like an inscription that was written. Zoom in on it, and I saw it was written there, authorization code. And I said, Lord, I know what this means. This is financial transaction. But what's that got to do with a war scene? And that week, fortunately for me, or unfortunately for me, my bank had problem. You know, I don't know what with my account, and all my direct debit didn't go through. And so I started to phone every one of them to pay, so as not to owe anything. So I phoned every single one of them, and I was paying. And every time I finished paying, they said, do you want the authorization code? And I said, so I had that about 5-6 times. And God drew my attention to it. He said, you remember authorization code? Authorization code is a transaction, is what happens when you have a credit card or your card, you want to pay something. When you buy, you know, and as you enter into the transaction and you both agree how much you pay with your card. And before the money goes through, your bank will have to send a code to say this transaction can go on. Yeah? And then I said, God, so do you want me to wait for authorization code all the time before I do anything? Because I was telling my wife, I don't know what this means. And God said, no, you are the one with the authority to give the code. Are you getting where I'm coming from? Because the money was mine. The money was in the bank. But it's my money. But because I had authorized the bank to look after my money, they could give authorization code on my behalf. So it's the one with the one that received the instructions, not the one that gives it. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? The person who has the authority to activate miracle is not the one that gives the instruction, is the one that receives instruction. We've got it wrong most of the time. We think it's God. Let's look at one scripture. Seriously, this wasn't what I was going to preach, but I'm ready. I'm happy to let it go. Happy to let it go. In the book of John, Mary came to Jesus. She said, they are running out of wine. But Mary now went to Jesus. Said, what's that got to do with you, woman? My time has not come. Leave me alone. Mary went to the servants, said, whatever he asks you to do, do it. Who gave the instruction? Mary. Who received the instruction? The servants. So the lowest people in the house received the instruction. So who had the authority for the miracle to happen? The servants. You get the point I'm trying to make? It wasn't Mary. It wasn't even Jesus. It was the servants. So when Jesus now gave them another instruction, fill the container with water. They did. Then he now said, get a cup, get water from the container, give it to the chairman of the occasion. You know, Jesus released the power for the miracle to happen already. If they had refused to follow his instruction, the miracle would not have become a reality. Because they obeyed him and did exactly as he said, they authorized it to happen. When they got the water in the cup, it was still water. When they stood forward, they moved forward, it was still water. When they were handing it over, it was still water. But when it arrived in the hand of the receiver, the transaction was completed. Wine. Water turned into wine. So this is the I'm not going to take time to explain this because this is simple enough to understand. The reason why the church is not seeing the power, the miracles that we are expecting, is not for lack of power. Power is there. When Jesus spoke, the power was released. The reason why is that we are not following instructions. We are not stepping out. If you want to see more miracles, what do you have to do? Step out. If we want to see more people come to church, what do we need to do? Step out. Give them a taste of the kingdom. Give them a taste of the kingdom. Jesus was talking to his disciples when he sent them two by two. The Bible says he gave them power first before he gave them instructions. You get the point I'm trying to make? You know, he gave them power before he told them what to do with it. And then in the book of Acts chapter 1, he told them, don't go anywhere. Don't go, do nothing until power comes. That's how he does his thing. Don't do anything because you cannot preach the message of this gospel of the kingdom without power. Every kingdom is limited to the extent of its power. So if we want people to have a taste of our religion, we don't need power. If we want them to have a taste of the kingdom of God, that is what we stand for. That's what we preach. That's what we declare. Nothing else but the kingdom. Anything outside of it, it has no backing from God. It lacks power. But if it's the message of the kingdom, it comes with power. Say power.
Power.
It comes with power. Everywhere you preach it. You see, I don't know if I have the scripture here. When Jesus was sending them the 70 out, he told them, heal the sick and then preach the message of the kingdom. Heal and then preach. Few months ago, about period of, was it around April? My memory is not as good as it used to be. It wasn't really good anyway. My wife showed me, she told me about in our church we have a women's WhatsApp prayer group. You know, women like to chat, so they... I'm careful because there are a lot of women here. And because I'm the only woman in my house, I'm in minority, so I know how to navigate my way around and not offend anyone. And she said, Desmond, look at this. There's a lady in our church. Send a prayer request. They said she was pregnant, but the baby, she had ectopic pregnancy, baby outside of the womb. And then I gave them a call, and the woman started to explain to me that the husband came, this was on a Saturday night. The husband came back from work on Friday. She was in pain. And because they've had two kids before, they had a third pregnancy which she lost. This was the fourth one. Her pregnancy is always complicated, always hard. She's in bed rest and very, very difficult. And she went to the hospital, A&E, they carried out the test. They said she's got ectopic pregnancy, but they wanted her to come back she went Friday night through Saturday. They confirmed that she had, it was ectopic pregnancy. They wanted to flush it up. They said, we want a second opinion. They had a second opinion the Saturday. She wanted a third opinion. So they said, come in on Sunday morning. We do another scan. So before Sunday morning, she sent out a test. Can you pray, please? So I called her, talked with her. Then because she was also had fear because of what happened previously, then we prayed together. So that morning, we went to church. Sunday morning, we were praying. And then after the service, I checked my phone. She sent a test. They've done the test. The baby's back in the womb. Less than 24 hours. The doctor was saying, you crazy Christians. I know what I'm doing. I'm a doctor. I've been doing it for many years. Yeah. This baby is outside the womb, and to save your life, we have to get it out. And she said, no. God who put it there will push it back in. Within less than 24 hours, God did it. But the truth is, the reason why it happened is not because I'm a prayer warrior. It's not because we have special anointing to make things happen. It's because we believe God. Yes. It was simply believing God. So, church, I want to encourage you. This is what I'm also encouraging my church. We're doing a period of fasting and prayer for 2 weeks. It's ending next week. We're trying to encourage them to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Today I'm talking of power, simply power. To know the person of the Holy Spirit, because he will teach you all things and he will show you how to navigate this kingdom lifestyle where you can see where the reality of God becomes the reality in your day, in your daily living. And we want to see that. And because Pastor Paul was telling me that you're taking the land. Yeah? Okay, I just want to round off in 5 minutes, yes? We're taking the land. And to take the land, as I was thinking about it, the Lord was speaking to me that, how many of you saw the Iraq war? Because they were showing it live when they started. Yeah. What was the first thing they did? It was air invasion, isn't it? They took control of the air. So that the Iraqi planes could not take off. They could not shift their things, ammunition around before they send in the land troop. In Christianity, as we're taking over, because every time we're preaching the message of the kingdom, what we are coming against another kingdom. So what we are doing is we are actually invading the land. For that to happen, first is prayer that takes control of the air. And then God will send you and I now. This is where we play, you know. We'll be praying. We can pray from anywhere. But then God will call you and I and send us in. To take over the land, we have to go in. If we don't go in, what will happen is people will drove out, we come back in. Mm-hmm. We overcome spiritually. Now, let's go and take over. You know how we take over? With power. It's with power. So when we go there, it's not just preaching about to anyone. It's sometimes it's just to ask God, give me a word from this person. Yeah. You know, God, give me a word. And then as you share the word, what's that? Where did it come from? And then is there anything you want us to pray for? You share your testimony. We're doing this and this person got healed. Is it okay if we pray with you? And then you pray. And imagine when something happens. What do you think the person will do? They will open up and they will respond. Today, as we were worshiping God, as we were worshiping here, and as the pastor was speaking, I saw a sickle. That's what they call it, for harvest. Yeah, and I saw the whole place. And God was saying, this is your season of harvest. Amen. Seriously, if I say this word and it's just an amen, and you don't go out, you won't get it. Yes. You know? It's amen and. You know what I'm saying? It's amen and action. So let's say amen and I action it. Not we, I. Put your name. I. Put your name. Measure your name. Call your name. Yeah. You have to. That's how the harvest will come. Otherwise, the prophecy of last year will add up to this year and carry over to next year and nothing happens. It will be on the waiting list. I hate waiting lists. How many of you want to transfer your breakthrough from waiting list to now? Yes. Lift your hands. I'm not going to say, you know, how many of you want me to pray for you so that it will happen? Seriously. But I'm not praying for you. You've got to action it. What is God asking you to do? Whatever he asks you to do, do it. Say, do it. Do it. Say, I will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many doers are in the house? How many doers are in this house right now? I tell you, if we get 4 or 5 doers alone in the house, this place will not contain you in 3 months. You get what I'm saying? If we can get as many of you that are saying you are doers to actually go out and do as God says and follow the leading God that God is stirring in the house, I tell you, in the next 3 months, this is not a prophecy, this is true. In the next 3 months, you won't be able to, you can't fit people in here because God would have moved mightily. You will be forced to move again because of growth. Church, I want to tell you, what is delaying your miracle is not God. It's you. It's you. God started to, 2 years ago, I started to go to Nigeria. I lost my mom in 2016, around July. And I went to Nigeria for a funeral. We finished, and as I was coming back, I went back to say, my family has to say hello to everyone before I left. And I heard God say to me, you're going to come back to Nigeria again. And before then, I have invested in Nigeria, and it didn't, you know, the way it didn't work. And I just said, I'll never spend money in there again. I will never even go there again, not to talk of do anything there. And God said, I need you to start something. So I started something. Hallelujah. I started an outreach where we bring pastors together, take resources here and support them. And as we were doing that, God started to provide the money to do it. People from everywhere would come and bring me things. Now we have 60 churches working with us in Lagos. We have another 30 working in another part of Lagos, another 20 in another part. And in Benin, we have about 30 working with us. God just resourced it because I stepped out. How many of you want to step out today? Now I want to pray for you. You say, Lord, I want to step out. Just stand on your feet, please. If you want to step out, not everyone, those who are saying, Lord, I will be a doer. Lord, I will step out. Lord, I will stand up. Lord, I will follow your instructions. Lord, I will do as you say so that I can have what you say. If you don't do, you will not get. That's the way it works. You can pray all you like. Prayer will not take the place of action. When we were praying, when you were leading worship, I heard God say, I saw a seller in a place, and I heard God say, he's calling you to a place to come closer for new wine. You had a glass of wine, and God is saying, let me come and see the keg of wine. And it showed me a picture, and I saw a lot of, if you go to like a pub, you see, they have a cellar where they keep their beer. It was like that. Loads of them. And he said, come and have a taste of new wine. It's a place of encounter with God. So God wants you to come in and encounter him. Whatever that means for you, I want to encourage you. Set time aside to meet with God. You are going to have a time of your life that you never thought existed. You know, it would be awesome. And you, I saw in your hand, there was this sickle, but God said to me, you are a warrior. You can take anything and turn it into a weapon. You know, and I want to encourage you. Don't say, I don't have the right weapon. Whatever you have in your hand, God said, use it, and you will see me moving your life mightily. You know, Pastor, I saw a huge increase. It's a time of harvest for you as a church. It's not a time of laboring. It's not a time of worrying. The worrying is over. You fought the battle enough. You fought the battle enough. You've got the victory. Now is time for harvest. Walk in it. Release the people in it. It's time for harvest. I want to come back and celebrate with you in a few months' time when we start to see the evidence of the harvest in this place. You have invested enough. It's time to stop fighting. It's time to work in it. Take in the booties that you've got. Breaking in the house. And Father Lord, I just want to thank you for the anointing of harvest in this house. The glory of God that rests upon this house for a time of harvest. Harvest for this church, harvest for individuals here. Many of them are pregnant with promises that they've received from you, some prophetic words, some as they read the word of God. But Father Lord, they've been pregnant for a while, but every pregnancy comes to a time of maturity. And this year is your year of maturity, a year where you will cause some pressure to happen within their bodies that will push the baby out, that will push the promise out. And so I want to encourage you this year. The pressures that will come across your path, the challenge that you come across your path, don't pray against it. Embrace it, because it is going to release the power of heaven to move and bring to birth those things that God has promised you. Your promises are coming to reality. Lord, I pray for every single one of them. I pray for strategy, Father, to bring in the harvest. I pray for strategy, Lord, to turn promises into fulfillment. I pray for strategy, Lord, to turn a time of waiting to a time of receiving in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you release your anointing upon every single one of these ones, Father, to know what to do at the right time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There is a presence of God in this place. It's awesome. It's awesome. Lord, I pray that people outside will somehow taste of what it is like to be in your presence. Somehow, Father, through these ones here, or however you want to do it, let them carry this presence out for others to taste and to say, I want something like that, so that many will start to come to the house. In Jesus' name, I just release God's anointing upon you in the name of Jesus. Out of your body, out of your belly shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. These hands will bring in harvest. Turn whatever is in your hand into a weapon. Turn it into an instrument. Beat it into a sickle that will bring the harvest. God has equipped you with all that you need to get a bigger harvest. Lord, I give you thanks, Father. I just want to pray. Where's that lady that was sharing testimony of her healing? The one that said it had pain and the pain was gone. Pain for many years. Candy. Yeah. Candy, I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for Candy. Thank you for your anointing upon her life. God hasn't just released anointing to heal you, but anointing for you to pray for people to receive healing. So I want to encourage you, take the bold step of faith and start. It's simple. All you need to do is to say, God has healed me. The same God that healed me can heal you too. And as you pray, just pray that simple prayer. Lord, heal me. Heal them the way you heal me. In Jesus' name. The anointing that healed you still is upon you to heal others. So start to pray for people in the church and outside the church in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. I would like to go on, but I want to end it here. The time is going.